This is May 26th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. It's an end of another month. We're going to have questions and answers tonight. But the idea that you're one with the universe, or you're one with this thing called God. When I say the universe and I say God, they're one in the same thing. One in the same thing, people. It's only God, it's only the universe. When I interchange those, it means there's not a universe in God. There's just God. But God is the universe, and vice versa. But the whole idea of this teaching is to have unity in your life and unity in your thinking, knowing that there's only one power, and that power is the power for good, and that power for good is in your life. When anything else is in your life but what you consider good, it's your thinking that is doing that. It is your thinking that is doing that. There is nothing evil in this world that we don't make ourselves, because God does not make evil. In the Bible it says man was made upright but has gone to many devices, meaning that our thinking, we are the ones who start to invent all these different things. So my idea for us, for all of us, is to know that we are becoming God, and that we are one with God already, and we have to keep reminding ourselves of that, because, as I always say, the world is too convincing and no one else is teaching that, and people should be teaching it, and people who know that will not teach that, because you can empty a room and they don't want an empty room. They'd rather tell a lie and have the room filled than to tell the truth and have no one show up. So I try to sit here and tell you what I think. I try to tell you the absolute truth of what is going on in your life and in this life that we call the life of God, because we're all participating in the life of God. There is no other life but the life of God. We look at each other and we think we have individual lives, but what is keeping you alive is this thing called God. We are animated by the energy of God, by the life of God. So we can make that statement. We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God or in the life of God. So bring yourself to that type of thinking, that you are the creative force in your life, and that you are creating your own experience through your beliefs, your attitudes, your opinions, and your viewpoints. And this last month we were talking about attitudes, and we all know what they are. I have many attitudes, and I know when I have an attitude. I also am able to change that attitude. Not always as instantly as I would like to change it, but I am able to change it. And I also get to laughing when I have an attitude. I never punish myself for that. I just notice what I am doing. So that is the other thing that we want to learn to do. We have to become a witness to our thinking. We have to see what we are doing to ourselves and to other people, instead of going through this world blindly or just as puppets, repeating and doing what everybody else is doing. And we get that also from the world, because especially now, so many people watch television, and we know about drama, and we know about all the different stories and so forth. They always wind up the same, and people always are crying, and people are always killing each other, and they're always doing this, and we think, well, that is life. That is not life. That's a portrayal of life that somebody else has made up. You do not have to go through life that way. That's the other thing about this teaching. It teaches you that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do, and you must choose a different way to go through life, meaning you must learn to think for yourself. You must learn to control your thinking. And this whole idea about attitude, put on a great attitude for yourself. No one else is going to do that for you. And this thing called God is not going to yell down or up or from any corner of the universe and say, your attitude stinks. God could care less about your attitude, people. Only you and other people care about your attitude. So you must change that. God does not change minds. You change your mind. You must learn to think God thoughts after it. Not think that God is going to start to think the way you think. God is never going to think the way you think. This thing that we call God is far above us all. I say far above us all, I mean above our intellect, above our minds. It's beyond thoughts and words. I have no idea what God's doing with any of that, but I do know that God is not punishing us in any way, that the only thing that this thing that we call God is doing is loving us because we are the beloved in whom he is well pleased. With that, I will open for questions. With that, I will open for questions.
I'll start, Dallas. Okay, I'm Astrid. Hi, everyone. I feel like I have this conversation inside of me that speaks louder than any words that I can speak. And I think it sets up my condition in life.
Yes.
And I feel like my condition is not very good.
Yes.
So I know that conversation needs to heal. And so my question to you is, what is the fastest way to get to that?
Well, the fastest way to get to that, and you've already started because you're aware of it. Most people are not aware that they have an internal dialogue going on. And then the other thing that they're not aware of is they, if they do have an internal dialogue going on, they think that internal dialogue belongs to them and that it is them. That's just an internal dialogue that you picked up from thought atmospheres that are always around you. You picked it up from your family, from your mother and from your father and from them. Time that you grew up. That's why I tell you, please don't be puppets of your conditioning. But now that you know that, and you have to start to change that, it's just a program inside of you that is no longer helping you in any way. But since you're so used to it, and since it becomes such a habit, you just keep doing it thinking that is you. You must remember you are not your mind, people, and you're not your internal dialogue. If you think it's your mind, you're lost. You might as well go home. You cannot.
I feel like it's more like a feeling.
Absolutely.
Like a, speech down kind of a red and scary.
Yes. Yes. You know? Well, why would you be afraid? If you're one with God and God is all there is and you know that God is good, therefore you must be also. The world teaches fear. And we see fear all over the place. So we start to believe that there is something to be fearful about. Many people are feared of old age. They're feared of dying. They're feared of this. They're feared of that. There's no such thing as death, people. Get that out of your mind. There's no such thing as birth. These are just events that happen to you along this journey that will go on for eternity. The internal dialogue that you're having inside of you that's keeping you and me or anybody else from getting what they want in life, somebody else gave to you. You must change that. It is not you. It is not you. Become aware of it and start to change it. When it's it. Remember, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You were never my friend. You will never be my friend. You have never brought me any good news. And it will never bring you any good news. You have to put the good news in your own thinking, in your own consciousness. Does that help you?
Yes.
Next.
I was wondering how many of us watched the Oprah show yesterday? It was just so magnificent. She is the perfect manifestation of God.
Yes.
She manifests constantly.
Right.
And everything she said on that program was metaphysical. When
yes.
she referred to Jesus, she said, I thank Jesus. She was talking about the teacher Jesus.
Yes.
When she said, I worship the same God as all of you. And then she went into describing
yes.
what God was.
Yes.
I thought it was just a perfect,
yes.
perfect
I do not watch Oprah. In my lifetime, and she's been on 25 years, I understand I may have seen her 3 times. Simply because I'm not interested, but I happen to know that she does a lot of good work. She has a wonderful energy. She has an internal dialogue going on, which is different than your dialogue. But I do know that this, she said, because I heard last night a synopsis. People ask her how she got to where she was. And she said when she decided that she was for service, her life changed. You have to know that you are serving something bigger than you are. If you're greedy and mean, and she's not. She wasn't. And that's how she became so popular. And I think it's a wonderful thing that she is the queen of television, of the world, and so forth. And what I'm very, very excited about is that she's black. I think that she can stand up for the black people and anybody else, because many black people have the dialogue going in that they're black and they can't do anything, and they blame it on everything along the way. There's nothing we can do about slavery anymore. If you were, my parents didn't have to come from slavery. Not in this lifetime, maybe some other lifetime that happened. But you cannot blame anything on your circumstances in life. You have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and say, this does not apply to me. I am going to make something out of myself, come hell or high water, and you will do it. But it's always going to be you doing it. And you can ask God to help you. Absolutely, you can do that. But you have to start it, and you have to be determined, and you have to change your attitude about yourself and about the world around you. And I think, I think she is a marvelous, marvelous person. Yes.
What's one thing in your practice, your daily practice, that you just find to be, I don't know, I guess what's the first thing that comes to your mind that's the most beneficial in your daily practice that kind of keeps you going, keeps you kind of in the, your consciousness raising higher?
I have never had anything like that. I've never had a hero. Mm-hmm. I've never had anyone that I looked up to.
Well, I mean, just what do you do in your daily life?
What do I do in my daily life? I try to make one step closer to God every day. I try to think God thoughts after it. I try very hard to be a good person, to listen to my internal dialogue and to change it when it wants to do something. And I can give you a wonderful example. I can give you many, but just recently I was in the Target store and I bought 4 glasses. And they were 2 groups. And I put them on top of each other, and when the lady rang it up, she only rang up 2 of them because she thought 4 came for that price, but only 2 came. Now, I sort of knew that. Am I thinking, great, I'll save $2. I'd have to go through the whole transaction. I got several steps past her. I looked at the bill, I came back, and I said, I think a mistake was made here. There are 4 glasses and not 2. Now, why do I do that? And she said, I'm so sorry. I said, you don't have to be sorry. Now, I did not have to go back. We're only talking $1.99 here. But it's your integrity. Mm-hmm. It's your integrity that's at stake. It doesn't matter if it's $1.99. or $100 million, you cannot do that to yourself. You're only ever hurting yourself, nobody else. And you think you're getting away with that, you're not getting away with that. And then that's how we start to erode, because first it's $1.99, then it's $5, and it's $10. Before you know it, you're into the habit of doing that. I do not want to get in that habit. I have to correct myself. I have to be aware of my thinking. My mind wanted to say, I made $2. You see, for $2, I'm going to sell my soul for $2? I didn't think so. So I went back. But you have to catch yourself in those things. And my first thing I will tell you is always, oh, goody, I made $2. I didn't make $2, you see. You have to catch yourself in these things. And go ahead.
Well, I would have done the exact same thing, but what if somebody would have said to you, well, that was the universe giving you a gift?
That's you, not the universe giving you a gift. How can the universe be giving you a gift when you're taking something from the Target store? That's cheating. You get that wrong, people, about gifts from the universe. That is not the way the universe works. It does not take something from one person to give to something else. I'm in a very, very, very dilemma right now with the same type of thinking. My friend Tom made his transition. I mentioned in Tom's will, I get the contents of the house. In the contents of the house, there was always a one little light that I loved that belonged to his grandparents. Now, do I say to myself, that is the universe giving me that lamp, but God had to kill Tom off first for me to get that? I don't think so. God does not work that way. God does not work that way. So then you have to correct that type of thinking also and realize that Tom wanted me to have that. Even though, I use the word covet, which the Bible hates, but I always, when I covet something, I get it, and I coveted that light for a good 10, 12 years. I now have that light. I got it last night. Now, I say thank you very much, and I say thank you very much to Tom. But I could say, ha, 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 see, that was a demonstration. It is a demonstration, but not a demonstration that Tom had to die for me to get that. You see? You can't do that to yourself. God does not kill off people so you can have something. No, doesn't do it. My mind wants to tell me that, you see, and then it wants to make me feel bad for that. Then I have to change all that thinking. You constantly have to change your thinking about things. See? Does this help? I mean,
I didn't have an issue with it. I just wanted to see the answer. Oh, I told you that going into it. I would have done exactly what you did. I just wanted to see what you would say if somebody posed that question to you.
Oh, well, did I answer that?
Well, yeah.
Well, I recently had a conference with our minister, and he asked me, what is your spiritual practice? And I said, well, I do my five-step spiritual prayer every day, and I try to be the best person I can be. And I said, I don't journal. And his expression was a little bit of displeasure in that. And I was wondering, why do I have to do all these things? Why can't I just be a good person?
That's what your whole life's about. Becoming and doing and being the very best person you know how to be. That's it in a nutshell, people. That's it in a nutshell. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You have to decide, I want to be a good person. And if we call God good, you're moving towards that goodness. You have to be a good person. That's all there is to it. And you don't have to go to church or do any of that stuff in order to become a good person. You do not have to journal. You have to catch your mind. This is all about your mind. It's not about God. It's not about... God is there always. Absolutely. But it's your mind that's doing everything. And you must learn to correct that mind. You must learn to control that mind. You must learn to think right thoughts, or what we call think the truth, instead of all the other stuff that we're letting go out in there.
Well, he lists all these things that you have to do before you can be chosen to be on the board. You have to tithe, you have to study, you have to take the classes, You have to journal. You have to do all of these things to even be considered on the floor. And I don't see how that applies.
What doesn't?
I mean, those are his rules. He's entitled.
Yes, he's entitled to make those up, and he's come up with a method, and he wants to use that method. Many people, if that helps them, let them do it. I would never do anything like that. The main thing in life is to be good, and I know many people have never set a foot in church are very good people. Very good people. Church and religion has nothing to do with it. And I can tell you, I know tons of people in every church that are the mean, hateful people that you... Oh, horrible. Mean, hateful people. I just saw a bumper sticker and it said... I pray to God that you keep your people away from me. Because they do. They become self-righteous. People become self-righteous. You can't be self-righteous. You never know. You know, remember from in the Bible, Sermon on the Mount, if you have a splinter in your eye, you know, or the other person has the splinter and you're trying to take the splinter out of their eye when you have a whole forest or a log in your eye. You can't do it. You can't do it. No? Just learn to be good. But learn to be good to yourself. Learn to be good to yourself.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that you allow people to hustle you and take advantage.
No.
But if that's taking place, then it has to do with you, right?
Yes.
I mean, for the most part, you're attracting that, so there's something inside of you. You're pulling this energy and this vibration.
Yes.
This kind of activity.
Yes. The law of attraction.
Yes.
Self-attraction.
So what you want is the law of repulsion. See, no one ever tells you that, do you? Do they? We talk about the law of attraction. If there's a law of attraction, there has to be a law of repulsion. And you want to repel those things from you.
Well, I always thought that the science of mind, church, would be different from our spiritual practice, or center, as we call it, would be totally different from any other spiritual organization like Christian churches and all that. But I'm finding that there are many similarities
as far as
the money is concerned.
Yes.
Very money-oriented. Highly money-oriented. And I resent it.
Yes.
Everything costs money.
Yes.
The classes cost money. The Labyrinth walks cost money. The picnics cost money.
Yes.
Everything is money, money, money. The classes, everything costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very expensive.
Oh, yes. And it'll get more so.
So I dropped out of a lot of things. Yes.
You can't. Anytime you... When you start anything like that, especially if you have a building. You see, the nice thing about here, we get this free. We do not have to keep this place up. We do not have to pay for the air conditioning. We do not have to pay for the parking lot. We do not have to pay for any of those things. So, we don't need a great deal of money. Of course, you put a great deal of money in there, it belongs to me. Ha ha ha. But they get ministers and churches get into the trap. And once they're in the trap, this thing called God goes out the window because money takes forth and they become a business. And they have to make money to keep it going. So they charge more and more and more. And they do less and less and less. You can have any type of spiritual habits that you want. You can do little things. I read for an hour and a half in the morning. I sit and read and contemplate and do that. And then I go about my day. Do I pray to God? No, because I know God is there. I know that I am one with God. I know that all this is happening. So I don't do what other people do. If other people want to do that, you have to decide for yourself how you want to approach this thing. But this teaching, very few times, the older ministers were like a laser beam, and they would put you down. What I have found with the younger ministers, they are reverting right back to old-time religion. I'll call it old-time religion. They're talking about God, and they're talking about all that. Yes, we're always going to be involved in God, but this is called science of mind, people. And it's only about your mind that I'm concerned about. Don't be concerned about anybody else or anything else but your mind. And you go and you hear these lecture after lecture after lecture. They never bother to tell you it's your thinking that's doing it. Every once in a while, they may bring that up. But it should be pounded into you every hour of every day. It's your thinking that's doing it. It's your thinking that's doing it. It's not a hymn that's going to save you. Your thinking that's going to do it. Go to Wagapi. Last time I went there, I thought it was a carnival. No, I'm sorry. I did.
That's very money for me, too.
Oh, my God. Please. You know, Raymond Charles Barker, Bitzer, when he was done with, he never said, now we're going to do the offering or anything, just pass the plate around. He never brought a big thing up. And his church had millions. He never bought it. He never talked about money. He never said, we need more money in the plate. We need this. He said, if I do my job correctly, the universe must pay me for that. And you have to know that. When I'm preparing for these classes, I never think how many people are going to be there and how much is going to be in the plate. I could care less. Don't get me wrong when I say I could care less. It would be wonderful to have tons of money. But that is not what's driving me, is to make that basket fill up. No. And I do these, you know, I'll talk in front of one person or two people. I do not need hundreds of people to do this. See? But money has never been one of my. It's never been money has never been a motivator for me. Never been a motivator. And I've always had money. But you'd be surprised that I have very little money. But I don't need money. You see, it's just a different way of looking at it. But please, it's your mind that's doing it. If you go to any church and they're telling you, talk to Mary, talk to Jesus, or talk to God, and all this and the thing, you may do all that, but it's your mind that's going to do it. It's your mind that's going to do it. When I was in that Baptist church, before they threw me out, they had a sign there, and I still use that today, and it says, perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee, meaning if you're thinking about God, and of course, our friend in the Golden Key, Emmett Fox, you know, if you have a problem, don't think of the problem, think of God. Don't think of the problem. So perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on me.
I was going
to
ask you about the Golden Key. If you can, for some people that don't know what that is, because actually if you gave me that testee, that little thing.
Yeah, where is it?
I gave it back to you. I bought my own, you know, and I read it every other day.
Oh,
I read it every other day.
I have.
Oh, you... Think about it. So one, I wanted to ask you, but you can explain what it is to people that don't know of it. There's a passage in there where it says, if you're going to repeat it several times a day, Golden Key someone, you have to not think about it in between the one. And I said to myself, well, how can I not think about it if I'm going to go Golden Key to me? Because I must be thinking about it, because I have to bring it back in again. I don't know how to...
Well, what they mean by that, after you do any of those things, Golden Key, which just means to think about God and let it and let it go. Let it go after that. Now, don't think about it the rest of the day and people start to wonder if God heard that. You have to remember that this thing that we call God hears everything. You only have to do it once. We're talking about intelligence, and you must talk to intelligence intelligently. And most people don't. They babble and carry on. I can't even understand what they're saying. How do you think God's going to understand what they want and what they say? You have to keep your mind away from those things. And then if you want to repeat it again, repeat it again. I only ever do one thing. If I'm treating for somebody, I do it once. I don't do it again. Why would I do it again? Only do it once. And what are you treating? You're treating your mind. You can't treat somebody else's mind, people. You have to change your mind about the situation. You're only ever treating your mind. Treatment doesn't go up to God and God mauls it over and then sends it back down to you. It does not leave your mind. People think that. Oh, went up to God and God's looking at him. Guess God doesn't like me because he didn't answer me yet. If you're looking for a demonstration and it hasn't come, it's inside of you. It's in your thinking that's keeping you from having it, because this thing called God wants you to have everything. Wants you to have everything. So you have to see what kind of a negation is going on inside of your thinking. You see? And I use that little example all the time. Everyone wants abundance and prosperity. But you talk about lack and limitation all the time. You may not talk about lack and limitation. You may not do it. And now let me tell you quickly about Tom and this light that I want. Abundance just overflows in my life. I also came home last night with 6 original pieces of art. And of course, they said, where are you going to put this down? You have no room. I said, watch me. Today they're up. They're all up. Now that's prosperity and abundance. You see? Because I don't talk about lack and limitation. I never say I don't have something. I have everything. And that, those original pieces of art, I've had original pieces of art most of my life. And that was an affirmation that I did for myself over 30 years ago. I said, I own original pieces of art. And then I was so stupid, I didn't realize that I had original pieces of art. They were all over my house. And do you think I noticed them? No, because I had a friend at that time, Michael Valencia, who did beautiful paintings for me. And he used to make beautiful things. So I paid him for these paintings. But it took me the longest time because I wasn't used to having original pieces of art. But my home was loaded with original pieces of art and one-of-a-kind things. That's abundance and prosperity. Abundance and prosperity. You have to know that it's there and it's coming to you. And how it does that, I don't know. I never worry about that. Remember, fun and entertainment, ways and means. Question?
I hate to hog the conversation.
No.
since I'm, unable to work right now, I've been doing a lot of research. And I researched, I was researching ministers who have extravagant lifestyles. And I pulled up Reverend Blake at West Angeles. And instead of talking about his extravagant lifestyle, because I don't know if he lives extravagantly or not, the article was about a minister in Boston who he had come to his church and preach 3 times. And he also preached at this minister's church in Boston. And this minister happens to be homosexual. And he gave them this lavish dinner party, and his partner was there, and he did that 3 times for Blake. And so members of Blake's congregation complained that Blake had this homosexual minister preach at West Angeles. And so there was a big controversy about that. And this person that wrote the article said that it states in the Bible that homosexuality is a sin and blah, 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 blah. Where does it say that in the Bible?
It does not say that in the Bible. And you could go home and Google that for if you want to. There's a phrase in the Bible that said man should not lay down with man. But that was a little rule that came about because a civilization was dying out. And so the suggestion was, don't lay with another man because you won't get a child from that. That is all that's ever mentioned. Now, if you want to go to what they call the master teacher, one of the master teachers, Jesus never mentioned sex in any of his sermons. Never mentioned sexuality, never said straight and gay or whatever they're doing. You see, that's a worldly thing that's going on out there. No.
Well, this is the preaching in many Pentecostal churches.
Well, it is the preaching in many Pentecostal churches, and I don't know how familiar people are with Aborigines, like American Indians and people like that. If you were gay, you were immediately more spiritual than the rest of the people in your tribe, and you were made a shaman because they believed that you contained both male and female, which we all do, by the way, and that because of that, you could see things differently. You could see things differently. But this
two-spirited.
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
Two-spirited. If you Google two-spirited, you'll get some light.
Instead of one, two spirits, because of male and female. But we all have that. And the sexual, this thing, and this was done a long time ago by Kinsey, the Kinsey Report and so forth. Sexuality is not male and female or straight and gay or whatever. It's always going back and forth and in and out. It's not a rigid type thing. You say it's not a rigid type thing, and who cares? Who cares about that? Now I'll tell you a cute story about that. When I was in, I don't know if anyone knows Peggy Bassett. Peggy Bassett is no longer with us. She had a big conference in Huntington, and I flew out for that conference. And Della Reese was there, and because Della Reese was a minister, and they asked Della Reese about what she thought about sex and so forth, and she said, I never involve myself in any sex unless I'm in it.
Unless I'm in it. She speaks openly about sex in her,
she doesn't
her
care.
Sermons.
Unless she's involved in it, she doesn't care what people are doing. Why are we so still? It has nothing to do with it. You have to realize that we were created by God. So, you have to know that you're whole and complete and perfect. And God is not against homosexuals. And why those people want to burn everybody is beyond me. It's always been a mystery to me. But anyway, another question? Yes.
Someone else.
So the other night I was thinking just these really sad thoughts. And I kind of pulled back, and I'm like, I started realizing I'm enjoying this sadness. And but I'm like trying to pull back, and it's just, you know, do you have any suggestions? Or it was just, you know, I was doing it to fulfill myself or some weird.
But you noticed what you were doing.
Right.
Feeling always follows thought. So when you think sad thoughts, you're going to become sad. You can become addicted to your own thinking and so forth, to these thoughts. Once you realize that, you can stop them and say that hook. You see, the whole idea, remember, is to think the thought that you want to think. If every minister that taught religious science would tell people that, they do not tell you that. You can read it all through Ernest Holmes. To learn to think the thought that you want to think. But we just thoughts come through. Thoughts are like clouds. Clouds come and go. Thoughts come and go. We are not interested in the clouds. We're interested in the blue sky. The blue sky always stays blue. God always stays the same. But do that. And then realize that, yes, you're doing that. You're causing everything in your life with your thinking. You don't have to be. Abraham Lincoln said what? Most men are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You must make up your mind to be happy. And when a sad thought, you could be sad. If you want to indulge in that for a moment, please feel free to do that. But then stop it, you see. Just stop it. Won't get you anywhere. You can stop it. The world tells you, no, you have to be sad. No, you have to be depressed. You say, you have to be this, that, and the other thing. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Along those lines, I noticed that there are people, I mean, I'm generally a happy person, but I noticed there are people that seem to be predisposed to be happy, like, a lot. And I find that very attractive. And I would like to be more like that myself.
Then become that. What did William Shakespeare say? Assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume that and it will be yours. You have, you're always creating yourself. If you want to be more happy, then be more happy. Do things that make you happy. You see the other person, you say, oh, well, look at that. I admire that in them. I'm going to do that myself. God does not show favorites. What God has done for one, God can do for all. But you have to do that. And they're not presupposed. They've made up their minds to be happy. They made up their minds to be happy.
So it doesn't need to be contingent on anything, because
no.
I'm always thinking, you'll be happy, no money. No, right away.
Yeah, because you allow money to be the biggest thing in your life. The money won't make you happy. I know people, and this is absolutely true, with millions of dollars, and then the most miserable people in the world. I worked for a millionaire. And he was always committing suicide. I always thought, well, I wish you'd hurry up and do it. No, he was always suicidal and depressed and this and the other thing. He had more money than he knew what to do with. It has nothing to do with money. If you become happy, money will come to you. The more you love yourself, the more happy you are, the more things, people are attracted to you, jobs come, money comes, everything comes. But you have to make up your mind to do that for yourself. We knew this as children, didn't we? Learn these lessons somewhere along the line. But then we allow the world to take it away from us. I love to be around people that have wonderful attitudes and remain happy. Who wants to be around grumps? Ooh, I don't like grumps. See, you can be happy. Stop thinking about money all the time. Let money come to you. What is that old saying? Money makes the world go round, but it's not. It's love that makes the world go round. So the more you love yourself, the more is going to come into your life. Ernest Holmes also said, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. But everyone who reads Ernest Holmes or reads the first four chapters usually of the book, and they never go any further than that, get the idea that, oh yes, if I sit here and I start with this teaching and oh, I do this, I'm going to become rich. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It has nothing to do with that. People do not become rich, you see. You have to be rich. You just have to be rich.
When you're trying to manifest something, like there's a certain aspect of like, you desire it because you don't have it, so there's a gratification that you want, but then ultimately, once you have it, you don't want just the gratification, you want the contentment of having it. So how do you go to the feeling, because I mean, having the lack obviously is not very attractive. You go with the feeling of of contentment, right? Not the the feeling of...
Well, you have to know that you have everything that you need right now. You have everything that you need. You're absolutely being taken care of. You're absolutely being taken care of. And that will happen for you. And you're going to have desires, and then you're going to have another desire. You will never be able to fulfill all your desires. A rich man is not the person who has everything. A rich man is one that needs very little. And we get that mixed up. We think somebody's rich because they have a lot of things. The person who has a lot of things is not necessarily rich. It's the person who needs very little. That's the rich person. Because with that, you gain freedom. You gain freedom of thought. And then, when you have freedom of thought, when you're able to do that, that is what we call the kingdom of heaven. And that is why Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here and now. It's in your thinking. When you get rid of all those other things, you're in the kingdom of heaven. Make sense? You're all doing perfectly. You have to know that. If you're moving in the right direction, you're doing the right thing for you. When somebody else tells you that you have to do this, this, and this, or keep a journal, I would kick them. I'd say, no, thank you very much. You keep the journal. I'll do it my way, thank you. Because I am an individualized expression of God, and I know what the hell I'm doing. And you don't, so there. I don't know what's going on inside of your minds. Sometimes it's hard for me to know what's going on inside of my mind. But I know that I'm an individual expression, and I can tell you I do this, this, and this. You can try it, and if it doesn't work for you, don't do it. Come up with your own thing. I have two friends. Well, more than two, but these particular two friends, they take yoga. They just started. They know all these positions. I've been taking yoga for years. I don't know what. I know all the positions. I mean, I don't know the names of them. Why do I have to know the names of these things? That's just cluttering my mind. So when they come over and they say, oh, the downward dog and this and that, I go, no idea what you're talking about. But they like that makes them think something. Now, let me tell you the other thing about yoga. Somebody made that up years ago. They stretched and they went, oh, that feels good. I think I'll make that a posture. Can't you do that yourself? Can't you come up with your own posture? How many times do I tell you, you can start your own church if you want to? You don't have to wait for Wesley and Ernest Holmes. Ernest Holmes is number one in the church. You don't have to come up with these other people. You can do it yourself. You're an individual. Do your own thing. We want to rush out and join the group all the time. Now I feel good. Now, these two people, by the way, are always stiff and sore and everything else. And I think, well, if you're into doing the downward dog and all this yoga, why are you stiff and sore? I'm never stiff and sore from my yoga. I'm never stiff and sore. Of course, I use that as a wonderful affirmation. I don't have an ache or pain in my body. I tell myself that every day. Why? Because I'm never going to expect that. Question?
When you were talking about going out and making your own church, it made me think about how, like, you know, years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, it's like, everybody had a process, you know. It's like you'd be born, you'd maybe have some education or a trade, you'd get married, have a family, and then, you know, modern day, more modern times, it's like, you know, you actually go to school and then college, or you go to a vocational school, and then, like, there are all these churches that are like, oh, here's how you live life. And but it seems to me there must be a simpler way to think about things on a moment to moment situation where you don't need all that tract of processing and that, figuring out life.
That was the faith of your fathers, and that's the way people did. They had every day organized. They had their Sundays organized. They had all this stuff to keep them moving along, because the general consensus was, if you don't keep these people in line, they'll just slough off, you know, and be lazy, no for goods or whatever. You don't need that. You can discipline your own self. You can do your own thing. And most people are only doing that stuff to fill in time because they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Very few people can sit by themselves and do nothing. And you have to be able to sit by yourself and do nothing.
But that makes my mind ask, for how long?
For as long as you want.
And then what?
What did the Buddha set under the Bodhi tree? And he said, I will sit here till my flesh leaves my bones.
How'd that work out for him?
We still talk about him, don't we? So it must have worked. See, the mind wants to keep driving you. Your mind wants to keep driving you. So the next thing. What is it? What does your mind always want from you? Not only wants your attention, but what it wants is it wants you not to be content in the moment, to go to the next moment. The next moment is going to be better than the moment that you're in. You have to be content in this moment. But the mind says, oh no, there's something better in the next moment. There's something better in the next moment. Oh no. Oh, can't wait till I go on vacation. Can't wait for this, that, that. No. Now. Stay in the now. Stay here. Stay present. Your mind does not want you to be in the now. It wants you to be in the next moment. There is no such thing as the next moment. See? How many times have I told you your mind lies to you all the time? And you fall for it. No such thing. Only the now. Stay in the now. You have everything you need at the present moment, do you not? But your mind is telling you, no, I won't have money tomorrow. I won't have money to do this. I won't have this. I won't have that. You have everything you need right now. Is your heart not beating? Are you not breathing? Are you not doing everything? And that's what you misremember. Give up this idea. This class, I should have never called it Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. The reason why I got entitled Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money, is because I was in an acting class where none of the actors could pay for their monthly dues to be in the class. So I started this class so that they would be able to pay their dues to the teacher, not me. People get carried away with this, and then they concentrate on all this. Money is always going to be a byproduct or a side effect of your thinking. Always. It's not the end all be all. It's not the thing. But people go after the money. Don't go after the money. Go after changing your mind about money. You see? You must have a prosperity consciousness. So you work on your consciousness. So when you look out, you see nothing but abundance and prosperity. When you look out, you see nothing but beauty. When I look out, I want to see opulence everywhere. I want to see opulence everywhere. If I can see opulence everywhere, money has to be there, doesn't it? You see? Money has no power. Nothing on the outside of life has any power over you whatsoever. Only what you're thinking. Only what you're thinking. So learn to change your thinking. Learn to become a witness to your thinking. Learn to control your thinking. All right. One more question. Somebody.
If we are content in the now, then what's the point of manifesting? What's the point of trying to manifest?
You are always trying to manifest so that you can prove that you are God. But you have to be content in the moment always while you're doing that. Only through manifesting can you prove that this teaching works. Now, when I say that and somebody's not manifesting something, please do not get down on yourself and say, I must be doing this wrong. This isn't working for me. Change your mind about it and say, I do manifest, and you manifest all the time. We all manifest all the time, we just don't recognize it. You see? And then we discount it when we do it. It's all of that, must be, yeah, that's nothing. The same. Remember, I take credit for anything good that goes on around me in a 100-mile radius. 100-mile radius. Someday I may move that out a little, but that's about all I can do right now. But you must see good everywhere. You must know that you're good. You must know that you're connected to this thing called God. And that this thing called God is taking care of you. That you truly are the beloved in whom this thing that we call God is well pleased. You have a wonderful thing called your mind. You have a wonderful thing called your imagination. Now, if you didn't have an imagination, you couldn't even conjure up this thing called God, people. Imagination, very, very important. Remember that. So use it. See yourself the way you want to be, and then make progress towards that. See the end, and the rest will fill itself in. Hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Do not get down on yourself. Because when you get down on yourself, you're getting down on God.
Okay. I am working hard on trying to get rid of some of the anger I have about what is not being taught in schools. I have done some research, a lot of research, and I discovered that Hitler, there were 120 million blacks living in Germany before Hitler. When Hitler came into being, he took all those blacks and put them in concentration camps. Some of them joined the SS. They were kicked out of the SS, and they were put in concentration camps. And thousands and thousands of blacks were executed along with the Jews. That has never been taught. Never. And that's one of the reasons we need to have Black History Month, so all of these things can come to light.
Yes.
And I've done a lot of other research on other countries, Central America and the Caribbean, how many blacks entered those countries, yes, and how they were treated. Some of them, right, you know, integrated into society. But none of that is being taught. And
yep,
it really angers me.
Yes. But don't let it anger you. Then write something and get it taught. There were also millions and millions of gay people in concentration camps that got killed, and that is never taught either. And that they also had the hardest life, and Rose was in a concentration camp.
I was in a concentration camp.
I'm sorry?
I was in a camp.
Yeah, I know.
And my boyfriend was killed, but they're talking about the black people. They executed not only the black people, they executed the Gypsies.
Oh, yeah,
they executed a lot of other boys too.
But those that you hear about, but you don't hear about the German blacks being executed. I never even knew anything about that.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
The first time I heard, it was after a lot of different religions,
yeah,
and different things that executed.
Yeah, I understand that. But that you hear about. I never, ever even knew that there were that many blacks in Germany. And they came from those black colonies in Africa before Hitler. And those people were executed along with the Germans.
So many things. And the world is not fair. These things do happen. But don't get angry about it. find out, spread the word yourself, and as for education, education is a selective type thing, and it only teaches what it wants to teach. It never tells you about the Holocaust in great detail. It gives you little things. We don't have in any history book all the Indians that died here. Most people think we had a couple Indians on the East Coast and a couple Indians on the West Coast. Indians were over. It were in every state in this country. This was their country. There were millions of them. They were all dead. We killed them. We gave them smallpox blankets so they would get smallpox. We did all kinds of things. They don't talk about that. I never knew, and I went to college and high school and college till whatever year, I don't remember now. I had no idea that we put the Japanese in concentration camps. That was not in one book I ever read in history. Not one book will tell you that. And the other thing you have to know about history is it's written by men. Very few history books are written by women. So you always get the man's idea, not the woman's idea. There's a lot of gross things going on. You cannot get angry about it. You have to do something. You have to correct that. You have to forgive them. It's always done with forgiveness, people. In your life, you must forgive, 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 forgive. And that's the way it is on this plane of action. There's nothing at the present moment that I can do about that except to forgive, knowing that eventually we will all make those steps and steps and steps towards this thing that we call God, and we will treat ourselves and other people better, and it will be wonderful. That's what we need. Okay? Let's close for the night, okay? Thank you.